is Reggie ATL coming to you from lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia, with Danelle Lewis. Danelle, how is it going? I see you still got your plant back there.
I know.
I'm going to comment on the fact that it hasn't died, but I also am aware of how fake it is.
I hate you for that. Why couldn't you just leave it at that? Why do you have to add the extra? Right, I was going to say, he's living, thriving. I can't wait to name him.
I'm going to cut it out next time. And we'll edit it out if I ever get around to it. I don't know if I will.
Okay.
But maybe after we get done talking about these Diddy charges here. Now, you know what's interesting? It's been an interesting month. So with the Diddy situation, it's interesting because this is like a guy, like from my standpoint, at least growing up, is that, you know, you look to like, hey, man, this is a guy that's really doing and he's handling this business. He was like a mogul and a music producer. That's all of like the things that I like, you know, where it's like people producing, but they're not only a producer, they also handling their business, stuff like that, stuff you always look up to and everything, right? And now over the last, like, I wouldn't even say like the last month when you really think about it, like with some of this stuff has been going on, coming up for like years for them, right?
Years, yeah.
Get you full screen here, Diddy. Some of these things coming up here for years. And it's interesting because you don't really give a lot of credence to one person saying something about another person in the sense that, yo, I saw this. And, you know, you hear rumblings, right? You hear rumblings. But you don't really give a lot of credibility to it until you see multiple people come out and they kind of describe the same MO, so to speak. You know what I mean? And then that gives other people strength to come out and say, well, it happened to me too. Especially if that person that came out originally is getting attacked and people saying they don't believe them.
Yeah.
How did these hit for you? Because it's going to be different from my standpoint because I'm old and I've came up listening to Diddy and Bad Boy and Biggie Smalls and all that other stuff, you know? So it's going to hit a little bit different than it would for maybe somebody who is female and not necessarily come from that same era. So when you heard these things, were like instant credibility? Were you like, yo, I definitely believe everything? Did it take more people coming out?
I think just because I'm in LA, it was believe it because there's so many crazy things going on out here.
Because you're like, yo, that's what happens here every day. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like, okay. part of the norm, which is unfortunate, but it is true. You hear these grumblings, you hear these things, you go to these parties, you see these people. It wasn't a surprise. I feel like I don't really know like the musical Diddy. I feel like what I remember him mostly is the mogul, the producer, the TV, making the band type Diddy. That's what I know him as.
Yeah, making people walk for cheesecake. Remember that? Would you ever walk for cheesecake? I don't even eat cheesecake, but would you walk for cheesecake?
I don't.
We should have known then, right? We should have known right then, Danelle.
That was right off the bat. Guilty. Everybody else saying the stories. No, I don't believe it. But that cheesecake, though, I believe it.
Man, yo, you seen what he made them people do for cheesecake, bro? So I don't know.
If you do it for cheesecake, you do it for anything. Goodness. So yeah, I can totally believe the stories and what's going on and how he is and all kind of stuff.
You believe all of them? And even there's some embellishment in there. I'm not talking about.
I mean, you know there is.
We'll break this up in a sense too. Yeah, that facts for that. I have to. We'll give a disclaimer because I don't want people to act like as if I know one way or the other or giving instant credibility to one side or the other here. But at the same time, I am a kind of person who doesn't really believe that people just will make allegations of this sort out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like I may very much tend to believe what people say about people, especially if it's a large number of them and it's over a certain amount of time and it's a different coast. You know what I mean? Like when you have all these kind of things, I tend to believe that people aren't making this stuff up about you. So of course everything here is allegedly, but I do tend to, in other situations, whether it's this situation, the Weinstein situation, the Cosby situation, situations where people, you have a multitude of human beings over a 30-year period saying something about somebody, I tend to believe there's some credibility to it.
And it's people at all levels. Like you had like people who we consider like they don't really have a name in Hollywood, all the way up to like the big time people who are like, this guy is not good. Stay away. Don't go. I wouldn't let my daughter be there type stuff. So I feel like when you have cases like that, when it's so widespread and this many people, like, yeah, we're like, of course, like something was going on.
You know, what's another thing that's interesting about this is the whole, I don't know if you saw the drug mule situation. like he had a his drug mule getting caught at the airport. It's like an ex-basketball player. And I'm like, is a drug mule just a person who carries drugs for people? Because if that's the case, if it's that, if that's the bar, if that's how low the bar is, it's a lot of people with drug mules out here who people who are just like, hey, go give me some trees. Now you're a drug mule.
Some trees. That reefer.
Like, now you're a drug mule.
That's it. Anybody could be a drug mule. The whole point of being a drug mule is supposed to be inconspicuous. Nobody's going to think that you're the person doing it. That's the whole point. Because if you're obvious, of course, the police are going to come for you and look, okay, you're sweating or something like that. That's what you see on TV. So, of course, like the actual drug mules are the people like you would have no idea. You'd look like somebody just strolling through, grandma, grandpa, your cousin, anybody.
Well, aren't this the person that takes the fall for you, right? Like if we get, you're like, hey, it wasn't me. It was this guy. He's the one with the drugs. And then I just go, they go bail him out later. Like, you know what I mean? True. You know the deal. You know what you signed up for. You know what I mean?
For access to the celebrity lifestyle, they'll do anything. And you, especially being out here in LA, you'll see people where you're just like, man, like, what were you thinking? Why would you do that just for a taste of celebrity life? Like, it's not forever. You're not going to hold on to that. But I guess if they can get any kind of just sprinkling, just like R. Kelly, drip, 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 like a little bit of something, they're okay with it. And it's just weird.
What do you think that's about? Like it's because, and I know in LA, especially there's so many people are probably salivating when they see these small town people come out there and they're like, oh yeah, absolutely. Like this is a person they've seen all the glitz and glamour. And there are some people who do make it through that and don't have as traumatic of situations. But it is interesting because I think that one of your superpowers can be being able to walk away from things. And I think that this is going to be relationships. This can be with money. This can be with opportunities. If you're willing to walk away from things, you're not going to be having nearly as many of these type of experiences as other human beings are who feel like they want it so bad that they'll do anything for it, no matter what it is. What do you think?
I mean, if you're coming out to LA, like, you have to be grounded. You have to have a base. You have to have people that aren't in the mix to talk to, because you will get lost. It'll eat you up very, very quickly. It's very easy to get lost in this lifestyle in general. Like, the party scene and just wanting to be a part of the Hollywood life, and then also the shame of not being in there and not telling your family about that. Like, cause they're going to ask you the questions. You seen the stars? Oh, are you doing commercials yet? And I was like, it takes a long time. Some of these people have been working for 10 years more, like childhood all the way up to now. And now you're just now seeing them and seeing the fruits of their labor. But people don't realize how long this stuff takes. They see like a little show and it's like, oh, she comes out there and within 3 months, she's got a major gig. I'm like, no, it ain't that. And then not unless you're making some deals on the side or you have family with connections. A lot of the people that you see that are making it big, they have a family with connections who've been in entertainment. They know how to navigate. They know who to be around, where to be and all that kind of stuff. They have people helping them. Like, don't think people coming out here, I just did it on my own. That's a whole lie. A big, humongous, gigantor lie. Don't let anybody trick you. Gigantor, they got help.
That's my word. I love using that word.
I'm just saying, gigantor. Like, Megasaurus. Like, I don't know. they have help. They have networks. They have people pushing them up. They have sorority groups. They have online communities built around being famous, getting there, getting the job, all that kind of stuff. So don't believe people when they just, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Like, you had gold-studded bootstraps, sir.
Yo, that's funny, because if you go out there, Danelle, do you want to tell your family? Let's say you come from like Arkansas and you go out to LA, you're gonna make it. You don't want them to be like, hey, I work at an Outback in LA. Like, no, you don't want to tell them which you really pop. And you'd be like, oh no, I'm going to auditions. And some of these can still, both things can be true, right? You can be still going to these auditions, but you could also have that job at Outback. And shout out to Outback. I've been there a million years. I just had to think about a restaurant real quick. But at this I think that that's part of the shame, right? So that's part of it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you put it into that perspective, because it's not just the shame of just like going out there, maybe things not being the way you thought they would be, but it also can be you going out there and having to report back to your family that.
Yeah.
You're going to ask. And they're like, hey, there's an Outback in Arkansas you could have worked at. What are you doing? you didn't even need to go out there. What are you talking about?
It's cheaper. So you don't have to live with 10 roommates in a one bedroom, like y'all sharing a car, like you see these, some of these fancy cars, it's like eight dudes sharing one car and they all have a different day to take it out.
Yo, like, that is people hilarious.
Lying. People lying to you.
And speaking of cars, I want to point out for people who aren't, if you're just listening to this and not watching on the screen, there is pictures of actual tanks that's outside this man's house here last week, which is pretty incredible. Because when you look at the scene, this is like, so I play video games a lot, and you think of like Rainbow Six type stuff of where like a crew, but they're like running through a neighborhood. It's not like a battlefield. They're coming through your subdivision, and it's like, you know, it's pretty much the army rolling through a subdivision. And that's pretty much what it's going on here. There's an actual, that looks like to be an actual tank here. Like, it's not a tank, but it's a police vehicle.
Might
it's
as
like
well.
These aren't like, this is not the sheriff's department right here coming to your house. You know what I mean?
And look people at people are,
taking pictures of this. Man, I love this day and age that we live in. Listen, we are
no fear, no nothing, like,
right? Social media, because back in the day, police rolled through like this. You would only see journalists out here.
Mm-hmm. Police rolled through the window. Like this.
Now this
that's
is
new me.
People who might just be next door neighbors who are like, "Hey, listen, this is incredible. I'm going to put this on my social media and you know get a ton of likes here for stuff like this." Now another thing here, let's say. Combs 54. Let's scroll on down here because I think Cassie kind of set it off. But when you look at some of these allegations, if you were going to, man, go down the rabbit hole on YouTube, we don't have the time to go down the YouTube rabbit hole on the Diddy situation. But you can go back to some of these interviews 5-6 years ago with people saying the exact same things, which is incredible, right? That's the incredible power of the internet. 5-6 years ago, you had people that were getting interviewed, whether they were ex-bodyguards, people who have attended some of these events, and they're getting interviewed. Mm-hmm. And they are saying the exact same things, like, hey, man, like, you go to some of these Diddy parties, you got the drinks you're supposed to drink, you got the drinks you're not supposed to drink.
Exactly.
Those drinks are for the ladies. These drinks are for you. You know what I mean? And I'm like, first and foremost, if you ever walk into a party and this is the intro to that event, like, hey, bro, I got two sets of drinks here. One for the ladies, one for you. Don't drink these over there. It's probably time to leave. It's time to leave instantly, bro, because I don't know if anything good is going to come of that. Like, and another thing, too. I don't know if I've ever been to parties where people are just like spiking people's drinks. As much as you hear about this kind of stuff, you see people passed out and stuff like that, and it seems so commonplace in certain circles. Is this something that you ever heard about, like happening in like ordinary? I mean, you hear about GHB and stuff like that, of course, and those the dangers of these kinds of things and the things that people in this particular case, women and men. Because he's been sued by a guy.
They didn't care.
Right?
Yeah, anyone can get it.
My guy. So this is, listen, do not take those drinks, ladies and gentlemen. Like, you need to be extra vigilant out here because clearly it doesn't matter. There will always be someone willing to try to take advantage of you and your situation. But me in my personal life, I guess I say, and from doing events and being at a lot of events, it's just not something that I see. But
what have you been after hours? Like, have you been, has it been the 3 a.m.?
I don't know, because I feel like, yo, you're right in a sense of like, you have to be at somebody's crib, right? Like, so you have to be at somebody's house. And the house parties that I'd been to weren't really, I guess, like this. They weren't like five people in one room. You go knock on the door and somebody's answering with a towel and stuff like that. Like, they haven't been.
Wait a minute, bro. Sorry.
Right. You want to come in? No, I do not, bro. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it hasn't been those kind of parties. But what I really don't get about this, and I think at the end of the day, it's about power more so than about the physical gratification in a lot of these situations, is a lot of these come from people who have seemingly the world as their oyster, right? Seemingly every opportunity to have fun that's not so suspect, you know. When it comes to the fun that's being had in a lot of these parties. That's where I would live in a glass house, because if I had the resources to just fly people out to islands and we have parties and stuff like that, oh, we're partying. Tell you that right now. Yes, we are. But the biggest difference between, yes, we are, we party, and there won't be any neighbors. We're going to be, because we're going to be partying all the time. I won't even know what time it is on any given day, any given week. So I can't throw glass stones. I can't throw rocks at a, because I live in a glass house, so to speak, when it comes to like the partying and probably all the stuff that would be happening. But there's two major differences, I think, with any party that I would have versus what's going on here. And the major differences are, for one, they would be of age. There's no underage stuff is crazy to me. Crazy. You know how many people are overage? What are you doing? There's so many overage people that, why do you, the underage situation is extremely sus. So people would be overage, and they would also be consenting individuals.
Mm. It's like you listen, have children their age. So it's just weird to me. I don't get it. And I'm like, I guess like when you have access to so many people, you can feel like you can literally get anyone. I guess you get bored. So it's like, now it's a competition of, well, how can I get another rise? Like, how do you feed the beast? Especially when you've had, like, can you imagine having so much sex that you have to like do things just to make it interesting? Like just to even be like, okay, now this is actually something I haven't experienced before. Like, you're always trying to top yourself. So above and beyond, trying to do more, get more, and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's crazy. That's not crazy, even because he's doing it allegedly. To have that kind of access to people in general, like it, you, if I see it, I can have it.
Mm. I mean, are you turning down going to some of these parties before now? I mean, of course, now I'm pretty sure there's a lot more turn downs now.
Oh yeah. Turn down, yeah. Have I been to?
But before, would you turn down any of these kind of events?
So you would know certain ones that you just don't go to, just for pure safety wise, like duh, like you know, some going out. But when you're already out and partying, you're already drunk, wasted, or whatever. You're just hopping in cars at some point, and you don't know where the people
right.
are.
Right. They're like, yo, this is where we're going. This is the after spot, right? Everybody has to.
You don't know. You don't know. You're literally just, some people blacking out, waking up in somebody's place, like, surprise. Like, you don't know half the time. You just show up somebody's, you're like, whose place is this? So and so. Oh, okay. Like, you don't. We really don't know where you're going most of the time. So I can see people ending up in certain parties or certain situations and not having a clue whatsoever what's going on, especially when you don't have a friend group that is watching you. All it takes is one person to say, come on, let's roll, so and so went with me. It's like, oh, okay. All right, I guess. I'm down for a good time type stuff, and don't realize what that good time is.
Right. You wake up like a week later somewhere randomly on some random island somewhere because you got on some random plane. So for them, for us, like mere mortals, it's let's get in this car. For people that are like that rich, it's like, let's get on this plane. And they get on the plane and they fly to fly to some land. Right. It starts with the car to the plane. Plane, we're still partying.
I would even say, like, oh, it's mostly one friend who's just like knows everybody. And so that's why you hang out with this friend. So this friend will take you anywhere, like, oh, they've got this thing going on. You guys wanna have some fun? Yeah, cool. So you're down, you show up at this location, hop in whatever, car, boat, plane, and go chill. You're like, I got nothing else to do, so I might as well go have some fun. And then that fun turns into, oh, who are these random people that I don't know? And why is this person trying to like hold my hand? Like, it's weird. Like, those, that
you
stuff
know,
is like
interesting. I'm gonna piggyback off what you just said there, because that actually happened to me. So it happened to me, but this was a long time ago, a million years ago. There was 112 was having a platinum party. 112's R&B group for Uninitiated. They're having a platinum party. And it was downtown in Buckhead in Atlanta. Buckhead in Atlanta. I had a roommate, his name was Devon, and he was like a model. And he had an invite. It was Diddy's party, and they were doing it downtown. And he was throwing it for 112. And they had these, you know how when you go to like Amsterdam, the red light district, they have these like things that people kind of
windows,
stand in, like, and like the windows, right? So it was similar to that, but they were like doing the mannequin thing. Like they would do like a pose, he'd like pose for a second, and then he'd like do another pose after maybe a minute or so, mm-hmm. right? And he had a VIP ticket. So me and the girl he was seeing at the time, we went to the party. And this is at the time when like Black Rob and all of them were like really popular, and we were in the VIP section. And at the time I was like 19 or so. And I was like, this is amazing. This is the best day of my life. Absolutely.
My eyes.
Hands down. This is the best day of my life. And you're behind the, and it wasn't anything really crazy, but you're behind like the velvet rope. But I just remember all the people that were there. It was TLC. It was Diddy himself was drinking out of a bottle of champagne. And at the time I was a very big Diddy fan. And then I was like, I'm gonna go up and say what's up. I whistled out. I never mustered the courage to go say what's up. But he was like right there drinking champagne out the bottle, and we were behind this velvet rope. And it was a couple things that kind of struck me. One was amazing, because one was the girl that he invited was from Yonkers. So she knew Jadakiss. Now, at the time, I wasn't really a big Jadakiss fan at the time, but she knew him, and she called him Jason. She was like, yo, Jason, what's up? And he came over there, and he first just started talking to us. Yeah, she called him by his legal. So I'm like, yo, his government, right? She was like, yo, Jason, what's up? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, he comes over, and he starts talking to us. And at the time, now, I'm away. Hindsight being 2020, Jadakiss at that time was kind of like up and coming, so I was more of like amazed, and even Diddy fan himself, because this is around the time, this would have been like late 90s, like 98 ish or so. Like this man's been partying for at least 30-40 years, obviously. So this is like late 90s, and so this is around the time Mace was really popping. I had like a little Mace sticker, and then Black Rob came by and signed my Mace sticker that I had. But I do remember Faith Evans being there, Styles P was there. We were all in the velvet rope area. And another thing that kind of struck me was the fishbowl aspect of it, because people, you had the velvet rope, but you had a lot of people on the other side of the rope that were just kind of like staring in.
Yeah, just standing there looking, the whole time.
No, yeah. just looking. I remember thinking, these people have to do this like all of their lives. Like, how are you just like existing with human beings just staring at you? You know what I mean? But that's pretty much what was happening. It was a dope event. Of course, I was young, so it's not like I'm hopping in any place or going in any part. I left with my friend Devon when we left, but I remember it being a very like amazing, incredible experience. Just to think these human beings having these experiences like for decades, they probably are jaded. Right. It probably does take more. Like, how many parties can you have before you're like partied out? I mean, I don't even like to eat the same food two times.
People have been doing this since they're teenagers. So, and like, and you know, teenagers be wilding out then. Like, you gotta up your game, do more, go harder every single year. And you find out something weird. It's like, okay, I kind of like that. Like, surprise, develop that more.
Like, it's probably how these fetishes and stuff come through. People are just like so enamored with what their perspective of something is that they kind of overlook things.
Oh, definitely. 100%. This it depends on who this person is. Like, if I really care about this person, or I think they have this image of who this person is, they could do no wrong. It'll matter. Like, whatever happens. It's like, oh, well, this person's famous. I like this person, or I care for the music. Like, you see people when they do the fan pages and the dedication to some of these artists that they've never, ever met in their entire life. And then they'll almost speak for them in certain situations. Like, they'll say, oh, so-and-so donated to this. They are so selfless and just giving. I was like, no, their team did. Like, they have people to do that for. This person is not physically handing these people anything. Like, no, they have a whole crew. A whole management company doing all of these things, but they're equating it to this great thing was this individual person. Like, they did it themselves. I was like, that's not how this stuff works. There's so many people behind the scenes doing all of these things, propping these people up. So it's people will definitely like whatever it is. Nah, they couldn't do it. Couldn't be the case. No, that's it. But I guess you see that same kind of dedication to like moms with their sons or like you see, or somebody like who has a father whose daughter is like an addict or something like that, they'll enable them 100% because I care for this person or I feel guilty for the state that they're currently in because I might have been a cause of it. You'll see that a lot about like teams and things like that. Like, they know it's crazy. they know the stories. They see the people wilding out, but nobody's going to say anything to them because they're yes men, or they don't want to lose their job or whatever.
Yeah, that's. Do you think there's going to be some time? How do you think he beats this case?
He's not.
You don't think
that's
beat
not
it?
The way the feds work. Like the feds research first and then come get you.
Right there.
Like when they come to get you, that means they got you. They got everything.
They already know something, right?
Evidence, like witness recordings. People already done turned. You can stand right next to them. They done told all your business. Okay, you have no clue. And so when they actually snap you up, you're done. You're done. Now whatever charges and stuff, they might come like with like a lesser sentence or you know something like that. But you're not beating none of this. Mm-mm. It's too concrete. The Fed do things differently than your local PD.
Man, that's wild because it's like yo now, it just feels like that childhood, that person, that kid that I was behind that velvet rope, looking at this guy drink that champagne and everything, and feel like yo, this is the dude who's really got everything. You know what I mean? On annual. He would be on the list of because Source used to do like the biggest money in rap type thing, and I'm paraphrasing it was something like that. They would do like he was always on the list. He was always like one of the two or three people that was on that list consistently. You have some people kind of drop on and off, but Diddy was on that list, making money, handling business, kind of bringing that whole like bling thing era in. That's still kind of around today to a large degree.
To an extent. But I want to know who's going to catch strays. Like, who's the residuals? Like,
well, Cuba already scared. Caught a stray. You saw Cuba Gooding caught one. He did you see? I know you saw those Cuba Gooding photos.
I saw the photos. Yeah, I was like,
you saw the photos.
Yeah.
Yo, let's see if we can get those for the people. Hold on, Cuba. Let's see if we can get the Cuba Gooding. Cuba Gooding.
Like I know, like who else they're saying? JG is going to catch strays.
Let's see. Yeah.
Exhibit. Let's look Usher, that up real quick. All these people.
Go to the images. Let's go to the images and see if we can. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, look at that.
You hugged up.
Look at that. Hugged up right there. He's hugged up.
And like how many other people are on that list?
Look at that. Yeah. Now let me tell you something here, man. I'm just a guy perspective here.
You're not it.
This is not toxic masculinity. I'm just saying that I've never had a reason for a dude to be this close to me. I have bros and I love my bros. I'm not scared to say that. You know what I mean? I love my bros. Love all my people, you know? But I'm going to need that.
Be red light hugged up?
No. Yeah. I need 2 to 3 feet of space, Danelle. Give me my space. Give me that 2 feet, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like what are you doing? And the thing is, too, like, where's that other hand at? Like, is it near his leg? Like, Cuba looks like he's working on something right there. Like you look at Cuba right here, it looks like yo, like he may be working on something. Like you know,
he do look like he's talking to his girl and she's giggling.
Right? Like I'm trying to bag me something tonight. You know what I mean? Like and I don't know if he's just drunk. And you know, Cuba already had an issue.
True.
With Cuba had the issue, I think, with a female, right? Like it was mm-hmm. something like a hug or a kiss. It was
yeah,
some kind of
there was a couple. There was a couple issues. Yeah. It's not looking good.
And now look at this, man. And I'm just like, when I saw this picture in the case, I was like, man, my whole childhood just going up in flames right now. I'm just watching this the whole thing just go up right here, right? Like
was
this,
he
this
was
is,
he that guy though? Like childhood,
he was from the hood, and he and Jerry Maguire, like he had a decent run. You know, show me the money. I still was using that gift. But I don't know if I'm going to use it now. That's what I'm saying. Like, other
I guess gets- you. Yeah, well, I don't know if you want to, but I guess he settled the other cases that he had because he had 2 new sexual assault battery lawsuits in 2023. So it's like, not the best for you. And then who else? I'm surprised Trey Songz hasn't come out with something.
Why would he? Why's Trey gotta be brought into this? You know, we got Usher and Meek now we can do a whole Meek episode. We can do a whole Meek episode the way that he's man. You're talking about a guy that we would need a whole separate episode
you're
for.
Us, him.
Lump. Yeah, absolutely. He's getting destroyed right now. So it's kind of like I'm not gonna pile on there, but those people did. Like Usher seems to be handling his pretty well. He's still just going about his life. I heard he just opened some new restaurants lately, so he seems to be like kind of moving along.
they almost see him as a little bit of the victim too. So I feel like he's not going to catch like it's not going to be as bad for him because of that. Because he was young when first like Diddy got his grasp on him, allegedly. So it was like, what do you do? It's almost like was it minus behavior too? They're all kind of victims in this instance of like the entertainment world, and not having your parents as close as they should have been, or not having them pay attention to you as like they should have been, wanting the fame, wanting the money and everything else and the access to things. So I feel like this is more of a telling sign on parents, and especially like the millennials, like their generation of parents, how they weren't really there for them. And this is just another case of, there are more cases of that. And even when you see, was it Quiet on the Set? The same problems.
We'll do a whole different show on that, man, because it's crazy, because I was thinking about kind of putting those together, but I feel like Quiet on the Set had so much more, like, I don't know, it's very dark. You know what I mean? Very dark. And this is a dark situation too. Don't get me wrong. This is a dark situation. But Quiet on the Set, man, was crazy in a sense of like the dereliction of duty from Drake's mom in that show was incredible to me. Cause I'm like, I don't understand how you're letting your kid out of your sight, especially in these type of environments. You know what I mean? In these type of environments. So we'll definitely do a show on that, but I feel like they're kind of correlating, cause this has been a crazy month here, right? Like if you go back, look at this month, it's a crazy month. A lot of these, a little bit of a resurgence of a Me Too moment that really hasn't really ended when the Me Too moment kind of set off, right?
Mm-hmm. This has just been carried on, and I feel like it's definitely, but I feel like it's coming to a head in a different way now, the way people are looking at it, because I feel like the beginning of the Me Too was like, oh, okay, like these women again, you know, but now that it's Me Too is it's been expanded to cover everyone, I feel like
and it needs to be. This needs to be. Let's go after some of these execs. Let's go after some of these business people. Let's go after all these people, right? Let's go after all of them, because
their families, the kids, they were memeing like Diddy too, because he even left his kids at the house.
It's pictures of them like getting in handcuffs, like off to the side. They weren't really detained, but they're kind of off to the side though, right? They're kind of like, we need to run through your crib. We want to make sure that you don't interfere. I don't know why they couldn't have just had them stand over there to the side. I felt like that was a bit much.
I gotta hide the evidence.
Yeah, man, like just walking them backwards in the handcuffs and having them off to the side. I felt that was a bit much. But it is the optics of that were horrible, right? Mm-hmm. The optics were horrible.
Especially for his daughters, like what are they, juniors now? It's like now you gotta deal with this and your dad, these allegations against your father. That's
rough on the family.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
They didn't really, and especially those young daughters, they didn't deserve this. So it's horrible. It's kind of like the gift and curse of having everything that the trappings of success and everything that kind of comes with that. But at the same time, having your life and your issues played out in the public eye is something that's horrible. Thank you for joining us. Please check us out. Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. I've been posting on TikTok as of late. I logged in there like 3 or 4 days ago, and I post stuff on there.
Such a good job.
Listen, it's by 2025, I would have logged into all my social, all my social sites. So I'm working on actually logging into my Instagram. I'm going to do that sometime here in the next month or so. I'm going to make that happen for you. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gents. See you next time.